Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Finding someone who shares your values in today's culture isn't easy. And being single around the holidays isn't easy either. That's why Catholic Singles created a website and app where single Catholics can meet and get to know each other that focuses on values, activities, and interests. For over two decades, Catholic Singles has been fostering deep relationships because your faith matters. Start today at CatholicSingles.com.
Ignatius Press is pleased to announce the first national book club created for Catholic schools. Ignatius Book Club for Catholic Schools was launched to support Catholic schools' dedication to forming the whole child, mind, body, and spirit. Ignatius Book Club for Schools partnered with leading publishers of children's literature to offer the best books and educational materials for all reading levels and interests. Head to IgnatiusBookClub.com/podcast and find wholesome books that delight, inspire, and enrich. CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health-sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com. CMF Curo. Healthcare fully alive.
Good morning, Philip. What's new?
Good morning, Ricardo. Not much is new.
It's your fault, but when I'm now in the Archdiocese and I see people, they say, how are you doing? And I say, haven't you heard Philip saying that's not what you are supposed to ask? We are here, Two Guys and a Gospel. I'm Father Ricardo Martin, and I'm the pastor at Sacred Heart Parish in Racine, Wisconsin, and also the Vice Chancellor here in the Archdiocese.
And I'm Father Philip Ugacki. I'm the pastor at Christ King and St. Bernard Parishes in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. So we're now in second Sunday of Advent.
Second Sunday in Advent.
Yeah, so for Sunday, December 9th. And what gospel am I going to read here?
We are going to read from Luke's gospel, which is the gospel that we're going to be reading in this cycle C of readings, and chapter 3, verses 1 to 6.
In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias was tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the desert. John went throughout the whole region of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah.
A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The winding roads shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. It's my debut.
It is. Just for clarification to those who are listening, I cannot do an impression of Father Ricardo like that. That was not me. That was him. Yeah.
I still remember that day that you told us about the child who was imitating us, especially imitating
my
accent.
I know. I want to arrange him to record that.
Should come one day.
Sometime. But what you did, just to be clear, is you're repeating the words of the prophet Isaiah that Jesus, or that's repeated here in the gospel. So
interesting. Just one thing that people need to notice is that Isaiah is the prophet of choice of the New Testament writers. I mean, he's cited, quoted like a million times more than any other prophet. He seems to be the prophet of reference for the disciples, for the evangelists at least.
Something here that is so firmly established and may seem like not a big deal, but it really is a big deal. But all of this detail here is a reminder of the incarnation of God, Jesus Christ coming in a very specific place and a very specific time, not in a general way or a vague way, but a very specific place.
The eruption of Jesus. The eruption of Jesus in human history.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And there are beautiful ways that have been used to describe that in theology, interrupting history, or the eruption into history, mm-hmm. But here, a very specific place, a very specific period in history, who was the ruler, then the governor of Judea, the ruler of the region, both civil and religious leaders here are referenced.
There is one, speaking of religious leaders, there is one detail that a Jew, first century Jew, would have seen immediately. When it mentions two high priests, there was only one. So it would be like saying that the Holy Father would be, and then we would list two people. We would know, Catholics would know, there is only one Holy Father. So Jews would know that there was only one high priest. So it tells you here that there is something going on already.
Okay.
It's a very interesting detail, very, very hidden. But a person reading this in the first century would immediately know that two is too many. There is only one high priest. And probably it means that one was, and we know one was the high priest in normal position, the official one. But the former one was still lingering in the shadow, those, as we will see through the gospel.
Right. There's a very strong image here that stands out that comes, of course, from Isaiah that's repeated here as well. It's an image of the valley. So every valley shall be filled. And I think in particular of our teaching, of our dogma, our doctrine on the understanding of Jesus as fully human, fully divine, the relationship between grace and nature. But in particular, God's relationship to people. I wish I could draw a valley here, you know, moving my hands here. But filling in that valley, it's Jesus Christ who closes that gap, who closes that valley between God and humanity. And there's something so very powerful about that and very unique among the major religions of the world that our God comes down to us and fills in that valley. So that means a lot of things. There are certainly justice orientations to that. But just on a doctrinal level, our relationship to God as human beings is that person of Jesus Christ who fills in that valley, the gap between God and humanity.
What I see also, what you inspired me to see is that you mentioned these political powers and religious powers on the one hand. It's like a boxing ring. On one corner, you have all these people, Annas, Caiaphas, Herods, Tiberius, Caesar. And on the other corner, it says John.
Yeah.
You see, it's like the plan of God begins in a very simple way. We are chapter 3. We've had the Annunciation and the birth of both Jesus and John the Baptist. And here we begin the serious part of the gospel. But see that the two corners, you have all these powerful people on the one side and only John to prepare the way of Jesus. I think it's a good image also for us when we sometimes feel like we cannot change anything or the world is a difficult place and nothing is going to change, that the plan of God is also very small and it begins in a very, and what it looks like a weak position.
I love that thought. I love that image. I hadn't quite thought of that.
You inspired it.
And that's not, think of not only John, but she's not mentioned here as well. Think of the role as Mary as well, just a simple young woman in just that little bit. And I think that's important as we move forward in the path of discipleship, is just putting one step forward, whatever that might be. We don't have to be smart. We don't have to be courageous. We don't have to be, you know, all of those things are important. But to start, it's just putting a step forward. And it's very simple. It's one little thing. And then God pulls us along.
Like many things in life, the difficulty is to start and then to take one step after the other. But what a beautiful image that the plan of God is more powerful in its simplicity than all these people with titles and everything. I also know this because I have checked before, that even though this is to indicate the insertion of Jesus in history, I have read that this is not possible, that the combination of names here historically is not totally accurate. And we don't know why, but for me it means that this could be, it happened in that given time, but Jesus is trying to enter human history through us at any time, at any point. And Jesus has appealed to human beings in all periods of history. I think it's one of the beauties of Advent. And then we get to John the Baptist. He's the main protagonist of Advent. We should say something about this as well, that all this gospel takes us to the beginning of the ministry of John the Baptist and how John the Baptist is an example of what Christians are supposed to do to prepare for Christmas.
Exactly. And there's more of John the Baptist over the next few weeks, but some call him the patron saint of Advent, this very special role he has. And the prominence he seems to have in Advent, but the irony in that his role to fade into the background. As we all do, we allow Christ to permeate through us.
I think we have enough for this. And also a reminder for listeners, this Saturday is the Immaculate Conception, a holy day of obligation.
December 8th, it's a Saturday this year, so it's a little bit awkward. It is a time where we come together as Catholics, one of those few times where it's not a Sunday. It means you'll be going on Saturday morning or perhaps Friday night. Some parishes will offer those options. I'm excited, too. That's the ordination anniversary of my diaconate. Okay. Anniversary is 11 years, so I'm always excited on about December 8th because of that Feast of Mary and also that anniversary.
And just a reminder that the Immaculate Conception is the patroness of the United States, so something to be mindful of. So John the Baptist, Mary, another great character for Advent, another great example of how are we supposed to get ready for Advent ourselves.
So look for Mass this particular Sunday. Advent is a great time to return to the Mass if you've been away a little bit.
So, and I see you next week. I hope you have a good celebration, Philip, and for both Immaculate Conception and the second Sunday in Advent, and I see you next week.
All right, I'll see you next week.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.